Well, amen. Praise the Lord. It is great to be here, and it is a great honor and privilege for me to be here at Worth Baptist Church. My wife and I have known the former pastor, Brother Barber, for many years. He used to come preach at my wife's church when she was just a little girl. And so it's a great honor to be here at the church he pastored for many years. And of course, now I've gotten to know your pastor at several events, and I thank God for the continued heritage that he's given to this church and in this community. Amen. And it's great to see that continuing on. So many times, churches like this, you have to point to and say, back in the day, there was a good church there. And thank God we can still say there's one here. So praise the Lord for that. I serve with Baptist Church Planting Ministry. And what we do is help churches birth strong, healthy churches. The average church cannot afford to have a staff member that just focuses on church planting, or wouldn't have a need to really have a staff member that focuses on just church planting. And so that's what we do as a ministry. By supporting about church planting ministry and us, we're able to come and help churches all across America like this one birth strong, healthy churches. And that's exactly how we function. If your pastor were to call me up and say, God has led us to start a church in Burleson, and we'd like you to help, we would come and serve as your pastor's assistant pastor for that church plant and help with all the planning, structure, organization, legwork, all the things that need to take place to get that church planter and that new church off to a strong start. Amen. Some of us remember the good old days when a young man said, God's called me to plant a church, and the pastor says, praise the Lord. And on Sunday night, they laid hands on him and sent him out. And he's standing outside the church with $100 in one hand and a stack of tracts in the other. And now what do I do? And that was the good old days, right? When men's men went out and planted churches. Sad thing is, at least half of those churches failed within the first 2 or 3 years. And I thank God through our ministry, the churches that we've helped birth, we've seen over 90% of those churches get past that 2-3 year mark. And so we thank God for that. And it's not because of BCPM. I believe it's because of doing things biblically and working through strong local churches like this one. And so we get asked all the time, how many churches has BCPM started? I always say the same answer. We haven't started one. And people say, after 26 years, and you're raising support, and you haven't started one church. I go, no, BCPM cannot start churches. Only churches can start churches, amen? It is the commission and the command of God that a local church reproduces itself by birthing other churches. We come alongside those churches and help them do that, amen? And so I thank God for 26 years now that we've helped birth 176 churches. And we are so thankful for what God is doing. And we have 5 more church plants already scheduled for this year, possibly even more. And we've already got some scheduled for next year. We average 7 church plants each and every year. Now, sometimes people ask us, well, if we support church planting here in America, doesn't that take away from foreign missions? And yes, it might take some of your foreign missions dollars away. But you know those 176 churches we've helped birth now give well over $4 million a year to world evangelism. Amen? And so it's not just reaching our nation. It's helping to reach the world by seeing more churches birth and more churches sending missionaries around the world. Amen? And we thank God also that we can say in 26 years, we have never yet charged the reproducing church or the church planter a dime for us to come and help. It's all been taken care of through the support that we raise for our ministry. We're able to travel and help out, and we actually invest at least $5,000 in every church plant that we help out in. And so we thank God for what he's done. Now, this time we're going to show a short video before we get into the message, and it'll give you a little bit more of an insight of what we do to help come alongside
churches. But you
shall receive
power after... But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Acts 1:8. Jesus Christ gave the commission to reach the world through church planting. Is the church accomplishing this today? In North America alone, more than 5,000 churches close their doors each year. On average, there is only one Bible-believing church for every 50,000 people. Many towns and cities are without a gospel witness. Inner-city ministries are few in number and cannot adequately handle rising populations. These statistics are not talking about Europe or some third world country. This is North America today. The need for good, Bible-believing, Bible-preaching churches is as great as it has ever been. The philosophy of the ministry for BCPM could be summed up in the phrase, helping churches reproduce churches that reproduce churches. Our goal is to assist churches in starting churches that may someday start other churches. We believe this is a biblical concept and consistent with New Testament Christianity as found in the book of Acts. There's a tremendous need for churches, and we want to see them planted and grow to maturity so they can reproduce other works. How then is a new church reproduced? The first step in reproducing a church is to have strong reproducing churches to work with. When a church reproduces a church, it is essential to have a pastor who is willing to lead their church to give birth. After much prayer and discussion, the church under the leadership of the pastor will then decide on a specific area in which to start the work. After a community is targeted for planting the church, the next step is to find a pastor for the new church. No church can exist and function properly without a good man as the shepherd of that church. A man is chosen by the reproducing church to serve in this important and God-ordained role. At this point, Baptist Church Planting Ministry will become actively involved in the reproduction of the church. Work such as meetings with the reproducing pastor and area pastors, advertising details, and help in building selection is done as preparations begin. A good building to meet in is essential to the formation of the church. Buildings such as schools, hotels, conference rooms, community centers, libraries, and even banks become prospects for the new church in which to assemble. There's often a need for a different building to be secured for a special week of Get Acquainted meetings that are the kickoff for the new church. After a building is secured, then the church will work on the preparation of the John and Romans that go to every household in the new community. There are many details that go into this process, all of which are carried out by average laypeople who have chosen this work as their ministry. Each booklet has the new church's name and logo, establishing the church's credibility in the community. After all, the John and Romans are prepared, they are delivered to the site of the new church. There, an insert is placed in them advertising the week of meetings, and then they are ready to be packed and delivered. If the John and Romans do not go by mail, then maps are prepared and people are organized together in teams to distribute the Word of God to every house in that area. This method of delivery will get the gospel in every home and also give opportunities for people to witness and invite others to the week of meetings. These meetings are designed to introduce the community to the new church, to establish the credibility of the new pastor, and to provide opportunities to see people saved through the evangelistic preaching. Many times, other churches will help in the week of meetings to show their support for the start of this new church. After all the preparations and final details are settled, the new church is organized. Many reproducing churches will offer special services, commissioning the pastor from their church. They'll pass resolutions voting the new church into existence, choosing the pastor, and adopting the constitution. Of course, one of the essential parts in establishing a new church is always much prayer. Finally, the big week arrives. All the preparation and details culminate in an exciting time of preaching and teaching from the Word of God. As the visitors come in, they're greeted by the pastor. Other pastors come from the area to show their support for the new church. Other churches travel over to provide nursery workers, ushers, music, and refreshments. The preaching during the week is to establish the need for the church in the community, as well as the foundation on which this new work will be laid. During the services, the reproducing church helps establish the credibility of the new pastor, so there is no doubt in the people's minds that he is God's man for the work. Many times, souls are saved and lives are changed during these Get Acquainted meetings. Each visitor provides a good contact for the pastor, and there's an opportunity to talk with him after the meeting during the fellowship time. Though the week of meetings is important for the establishment of the new church, the most important test is the grand opening Sunday. It is always exciting to be able to follow up and see how many people have come to be a part of their first Sunday service. What a thrill to see these new churches started and to see them grow for the Lord's glory and honor. Since the ministry began in August of 1993, BCPM has helped start an average of 7 churches every year. These young churches are aggressively giving to missions in an attempt to reach the world. BCPM has now reproduced churches in several different countries, and many of those churches started have already reproduced other churches. The need truly is great, not just in North America, but around the world. God has entrusted and commanded that the local church be active in the Great Commission. Baptist Church Planting Ministry is working with churches to reproduce other churches, which in turn is helping to further the spread of the gospel all over the world.
Amen. Take your Bibles, please turn to Romans chapter 10, please. Romans chapter number 10 and verse number 1. Romans chapter 10 and verse number 1. I love passages of Scripture that really show the heart of the author. And here's a verse of Scripture that you really get to see the heart of the Apostle Paul. Get to really know where his burdens are, what keeps him up at night, and what drives him, as we're going to see in this verse, to his knees. Amen. Romans chapter 10, verse number 1, Paul speaking says, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is." So he's saying here, he has a heart's desire. We use the term a lot today of a burden, right? I'm heavily burdened about something. We ask a missionary, where has God burdened you to go? We ask a church planter, what community do you have a burden for, right? We say, my heart is burdened for something, right? And so here's the Apostle Paul. He has a something that is weighing heavy on his heart. He has a heart's desire that leads him to pray, right? Now, we've all been in church services where the pastor says, any prayer requests? Somebody put up their hand. Please pray for Aunt Martha. She's got bunions, and she's having a hard time getting her groceries, right? And you all write that down. But how many of you honestly left service and spend time praying for Aunt Martha's bunions, right? That just kind of goes by the wayside, right? And I'm not picking on you. We've all done it. We've all been there. Why? Aunt Martha's bunions aren't really that heavy of a burden on our heart. Now, for you grandparents that are here, I have a 4-year-old grandson. Let's say I told you that today he was in a car accident and he has a 10% chance to live. Would you please pray for my grandson? I guarantee all the grandparents here would be putting up their hands saying yes. You'd write that down and you'd be praying, because what grandparent would ever want to be in that situation? We could feel it, couldn't we, grandparents? You could feel what that would be like to even think about one of your grandkids in that spot. You wouldn't want that for anybody else, and you would go home tonight and pray. Why? Because it's a heaviness on your heart, it is a burden, it's a desire in your heart, and it leads you to pray. Paul had a heaviness, he had a burden that leads him to pray. And what was his heaviness? It was to God for Israel. What is Israel to Paul? It was his people. It was his land, his country, his flag, right? His nation, the people that he loved. He had a burden and a desire for them. And what was his desire for them? That Bernie Sanders would be their president. I know that wasn't it. Or Donald Trump. All right, I'm not trying to pick on one here, but I'm just saying. He wasn't praying for the leadership of Israel, which in that time was not a very good leadership, right? And the Romans were there, right? He didn't want the Romans there, but that's not what he was praying about. He wasn't praying about the weather. He wasn't praying about their sports teams. He wasn't, you know, praying that the economy would go or the stock market would keep growing, all right? That wasn't his burden. Now, again, there's nothing wrong with those things, and I encourage you to vote. Amen. We're getting into a voting season. I'm not against all those things. I'm not trying to preach against those things. But he had a burden, a heaviness of heart that led him to his knees to pray to God for what? His people, his nation, his land. Why? That they might be saved. When was the last time you had a heaviness of heart, a burden for your nation, for America, for Texas, that the people in this great state would be saved? I'm from the north. I was telling you, Brother Sides, I grew up in the deep south of Canada, but I pastored in Toledo, Ohio, lived in Michigan. I'm a northerner, all right? This is not a storm to us, it's rain, all right? We don't worry about rain. You know what we worry about? Snakes. Those things can kill you. You guys don't seem to care about those, all right? But I'm not used to, if I hear a rattle, I'm going to hide behind my wife, all right? But no, I'm just kidding. And, just cultural things, obviously a little different. But I, coming from the north, come down to Texas, and I'm thinking, okay, Dallas is going to have a church like this one on every street corner. Is there going to be much of a need in Texas for churches like this one? Well, I think you already know the answer to that. I've been told by several pastors that this church is closed and that church is closed and that church is no longer where it was and that church is no longer where it was. Texas needs Christ. Dallas needs Christ. If a missionary came tonight to any other country and said something like this, because this is the statistics for the United States of America, that on any given Sunday in the United States of America, 18% of Americans are in church on Sunday morning. 18%. Now, we're counting the Jehovah's Witnesses, the Mormons, the Catholics, the Independent Baptists, the whole nine yards in that 18%. It is predicted in the next 20 years that number is going to drop to 8% of Americans going to church on a Sunday morning. We wonder why our nation is going in the direction that it is. We wonder why we're having politicians debating whether or not to support abortion after the birth of a child. How could that even be discussed in the United States of America? Well, America is no longer the Christian nation that it was founded as. It's no longer standing on those principles like it once was. And so if a missionary came here tonight and says, I'm going to country such and such, and only 18% of those people go to church of any kind, and if you drop that down to fundamental independent Bible-believing Baptists, all right, that number would be even a lot smaller. And we say, man, there's a country that needs a missionary. You know another country that needs missionaries, needs church planters, needs churches being birthed? Is the United States of America. This country needs the Lord Jesus Christ. This country needs churches being birthed across this land. I don't care where you pick, where you go. Now, obviously, we wouldn't plant a church right next door to this one, all right? We'd had some common sense, but there's a lot of places in the greater Dallas area that you could go to and say there is a need of a church just like this one that stands on the Word of God, that preaches the gospel, that cares for souls, and is out there trying to reach that community with the gospel of Jesus Christ. There's so many places. And you get outside of Texas with I think, a great godly heritage that it has, and you go to other states, and that numbers even of churches like this one, it just drops drastically. You go out to California, try and find communities that have churches like this one. And the thing is, as a church planting missionary, I go around. I've had people tell me in Michigan, Michigan does not need any more churches. And I say, you know, you're absolutely right. I said, Detroit is a very godly city, very wholesome. There's no crime. There's no drugs. There's no immorality. I'd encourage you folks, sell your house here in Dallas. Move to Detroit. It's such a wonderful place. All right, I'm being facetious there. Don't do that, all right? Okay. And you're telling me that Michigan doesn't need Christ? And you think of city after city in this country, the inner cities themselves, if you take the major inner cities of this nation, they need Christ. They need Jesus Christ. They need churches like this one preaching the gospel. My wife and I had the privilege, we were staying near San Francisco, and we travel now so much for our ministry that we don't tend to go on vacations. Vacations kind of pop up on us, all right? We were literally driving by the Grand Canyon one day, so I said, let's stop, all right? So you guys have to actually go to the Grand Canyon, but we were about 45 minutes from San Francisco. And I thought, wow, that's a beautiful city. We need to go see San Francisco while we're here. I tell you, folks, you cannot bring your family to San Francisco today. San Francisco, a city that should be the crown jewel of the United States of America. There's a need for churches. There's a need for the gospel of Jesus Christ to be in that city and bring that city back to a place where it ought to be. So we need to be reaching America with the gospel. How are we going to do that? How are we going to reach America with the gospel of Jesus Christ? Well, we just need to simply follow what the Word of God tells us to do, right? The Word of God tells us to fulfill the Great Commission, right? We are to meet Great Commission churches. What does the Bible say about the Great Commission? In Matthew, it says, go ye therefore, teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. We are to be Great Commission churches. What is a Great Commission church? A Great Commission church is one that is preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, has a burden, has a desire, has a heart to see souls saved. And I believe that Worth Baptist Church is a Great Commission church in wanting to see this community reached with the gospel of Jesus Christ, see boys and girls and moms and dads and grandmas and grandpas come to know Jesus Christ as their Savior. That's not just being a Great Commission church just doing that. It also means that we got to see people baptized, right? And we get that. We understand that. That's the ABCs to this crowd, right? We see people saved, we see them baptized and added unto the church. Amen? Still not a Great Commission church. Why not? Well, it says that we are to also teach them to observe all things, right? What is that? That's simply discipleship. What is discipleship? Come to church, Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, one-on-one discipleship, group discipleship, counseling, getting together over coffee with your pastor and having him teach you something about the Word of God. However the things are that you set up for discipleship and teaching people to observe the Word of God, that's your discipleship. So, of course, I know Worth Baptist Church is reaching the lost or seeing people baptized and added unto the church and being discipled. Great Commission Church, right? Well, it says that we're to do this even unto the end of the world. Amen. And so you say, don't worry, Brother Russ. We got that covered too. We are reaching Fort Worth with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And if you look at our missionary list, Brother Russ, we have missionaries all around the world. Amen. Your pastor is on his way to India. I'm guessing to somebody he knows over there. All right. And probably somebody you guys support. And so you got missionaries in India. You've got Fort Worth covered. That makes you a Great Commission church. Well, let's look. Take your Bibles, please. Turn to Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter number 1. And verse number 8 teaches us where every church is to fulfill the Great Commission. You're not just to fulfill the Great Commission here in Fort Worth and in India or China or whatever other countries you got missionaries to. Where is Worth Baptist Church supposed to fulfill the Great Commission? Acts chapter 1, verse number 8. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me. Where? Both in Jerusalem. Where is your Jerusalem? Your Jerusalem is right outside these doors. Amen? This community is your Jerusalem. You are to reach the people of this community with the gospel of Jesus Christ. He goes on in verse number 8 and says, and in all Judea. Well, where's Judea? Well, we could say that here in this part of the country, that your Judea is Texas. Amen? And so you are to fulfill the Great Commission here in Texas. Well, you say, well, how can we do that? We can't go door knocking in Austin and ask those people to come to Worth Baptist Church on Sunday. I agree with that, right? You also can't go door knocking in India. So what do? You send a missionary to India. Send a missionary to China. What can you do in Austin? Send a missionary, right? What can you do in Burleson? Or what can you do, you know, Plano or Frisco or what are the other areas around the Dallas area? What could you do? Send a missionary. Well, what's a missionary? Well, your church, your pastor is a missionary in Fort Worth. And we need missionaries all over the state of Texas. And so to reach this state, we must be planting churches. It also says Samaria. Well, where's Samaria? Well, Samaria was a part of Israel. It was looked down upon. It was despised. It was hated. And so we'll call that Oklahoma for you folks, all right? Amen. And I want you to know I never say it the other way around when I'm in Oklahoma, all right? Never do that, all right? But amen. There's other parts of this country that need the gospel, not just Texas. And so we got to see churches planted in Oklahoma. But you know the exciting thing to me about this is, and we don't catch this, your Jerusalem is Fort Worth. The church where I am a member, it's Corona, Michigan. Two totally different Jerusalems. Guess what? Your Judea is Texas. My home church's Judea is Michigan. Your Samaria is Oklahoma. Ours is Ohio. Okay? It's the same problem between here in Oklahoma and Michigan, all right? And so, but you know what? Every church like this one has a different Jerusalem. Every church like this one has a different Judea, all right? Because we understand that obviously you guys can influence more the greater Dallas area than you can San Antonio. But there's churches over there that can reach that part of this Judea, all right? And then, of course, everyone has a different Samaria. And just think what could happen in the United States of America if every church that is like this one has a heart's desire and a burden that leads them to their knees before God, and they're praying for their Jerusalem, and they're reaching out to their Jerusalem, and they're begging God that their Jerusalem gets saved. They're on their knees, and they're begging God for their Judea, that people in their Judea would get saved, and that churches would be planted there. And they were praying and getting on their knees for their Samaria, that God would save the souls in their Samaria. Just think of every church, the ones in California, and the ones in Virginia, and the ones in Washington State, and we can name state after state, everyone with a different Jerusalem, a different Judea, a different Samaria, every one of them begging God, having a burden and a heart's desire that leads them to their knees and asking God that God would work through them, that God would use them, that God would use their ministry to turn their part of America upside down with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Just think what Almighty God could do if churches got on their knees and begged God to use them to reach the area that God has placed them with the gospel of Jesus Christ. In Acts chapter 1, again, verse 8, the beginning says, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you." You've heard this verse preached many times. And many times you're taught that if you're filled with the Spirit of God, you're walking in the Spirit of God, you will be a witness. And that's a biblical principle to teach. But the thing is, this verse is also teaching us that if this church is Spirit-filled, if this church is Spirit-empowered, if this church is allowing the Holy Spirit of God to guide them and to direct them and to show them through the Scriptures what they ought to be doing for the cause of Christ, if every church like this one across America was on their knees begging God, we need your Spirit, we need your indwelling, we need your guidance, we need your help. God, I believe, help thou my unbelief. God, I need your power, I need your help. I can't serve you as I ought to serve you. God, empower me and strengthen me and use me. And we get on our knees and we ask for the infilling and the indwelling of the Holy Spirit of God in our hearts and our lives. And as that takes place, God starts moving us and we get out and we start seeing souls saved afresh and anew in our communities. We get out there and we hand out tracts and we're inviting people to all the different events that are going on. Amen. I was excited to hear earlier tonight having a Pinewood Derby contest here. We did that in up in Toledo, Ohio too. And you think, oh, that's a fun thing for the kids. No, it isn't. It's a fun thing for everybody. It's a fun thing for a lot of unsaved people in this community. There's so many things that you can use to get the gospel out. If we're empowered by the Holy Spirit of God, we will be on our knees begging God for our Jerusalem, our Judea, and our Samaria to be reached with the gospel of Jesus Christ. But these areas cannot be reached without church planting. How do I know that? You folks are reaching Fort Worth with the gospel of Jesus Christ, right? In Genesis chapter 1, when God spoke the heavens and the earth into existence, did that include this church? No. This church had a birth date, right? There was a date it started. I don't know what that date is, but there was a date that this church one time started. In 66? 66 years ago. Okay, I was going to say in 66 I was alive, but 66 years ago I wasn't. So 66 years ago this church was planted. And because this church was planted, you can fulfill the Great Commission here. There's so many parts of the United States of America that the Great Commission cannot be fulfilled because there's not a church there to do it. Folks, we need to have a heart's desire and a prayer to God for America. A heart's desire and a prayer to God for Texas that they might be saved. We spent a lot of time in this country. Since moving to the U.S., my wife and I, by the way, have both become citizens. We went through the whole process of green cards and everything else, became citizens in 2016, 2 months before the 2016 election, and we got to vote. And we are honored to vote in this country and to be able to vote for the first time in this country. And folks, we get on social media, we go to coffee shops, we're on the phone, and we are talking politics, 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 politics. I've never been to a place that talks about politics as much as this country. I think it's kind of neat myself. I think politics in this country is like sports, all right? This is more fun than sports, all right? All the stuff that goes on here and all the back and the forth and this game that this party does and the game this party does. And we talk about that and debate that and Facebook each other about that, and we're posting this meme about Nancy Pelosi and somebody else posts something about Donald Trump. Man, we're zipping and zinging each other. When was the last time we were posting about the need of reaching people in this country? When was the last time that we get so worked up about it? Have you ever had to put your phone down and said, I can't think about politics right now anymore? You're so worked up about it. When was the last time you were so worked up about the need of this country accepting Jesus Christ as their Savior, the people of this country being saved, that it brought you to your knees? May God help us to have a burden that leads us to our knees for this country to be saved. Let's pray. Father, we love you. We thank you for the word of God that is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. And Lord, I pray now that you would help us to make decisions tonight that would honor and glorify you. God, search all of our hearts this evening. Help us to examine ourselves. Help us to make decisions tonight that would honor and glorify you. Lord, as we have this time of invitation, my challenge to each one here tonight would be, would you be willing to come tonight with a heart's desire, a burden for this nation, that they might be saved? Would you be willing to spend a couple minutes on your knees tonight praying for the souls of this nation? God, I pray that you'd work in a mighty way in the invitation here tonight, in Christ's precious name. Let's all stand, please, every head bowed and every eye closed, as the pianist plays.